Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
And we're back. Once again, the Tom and Tim Show.
Yes,
coming
we
to
are.
You live from Bernal Heights.
Yeah, and it's been a sad time. Of course, we're all reeling from the Oakland fire, the ghost ship, and a little bit concerned about the dead being disrespected, because it seems like there is a trajectory, you know, to blame the victims here, and who mainly were artists, a lot of transgender young people as well. And that, you know, perhaps they and their they are responsible for being so cavalier.
Yeah, and here we have all of these politicians going out there and saying, well, we have to shut down any other warehouses, any unpermitted spaces where artists are or there's performances going on. And you understand, you know, nobody wants to be blamed for the next ghost ship. But on the other hand, why are people living in unpermitted spaces? Because it's the only place you can afford to live if you're an artist or an underground performer. Why are they doing performances here? Because it's the only place you can afford to do it. So let's not, you know, the tenants together and some of the statewide and local housing groups are putting out a statement and saying, you know, let's not destroy the community in order to save it.
Yeah.
Let's not let this lead to a rash of evictions.
No, and, you know, I mean, I remember being young, of course, 100 years ago. And you know, you did feel some pleasure out of having an alternative bohemian, like, you know. So, but that didn't mean you didn't want to be safe,
right?
You know, that didn't mean that you were being so irresponsible as to put yourself in danger. It meant that you were young and alternative space. There was there's a tendency to romanticize. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not establishment, and you know. Anyway, what a lesson!
What a lesson! And there's got to be a way to go in and do safety inspections and try to help people prevent fires and do proper egress and all that without shutting them down and evicting everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's got to happen.
Yeah. Well, if I understand, our new state senator would probably be on board with evicting everybody. He introduced his first bill, which is a big kiss ass to the governor, because the policy involved in the bill is, Tim?
Is essentially saying that the state is going to take control of local housing development if the cities aren't fulfilling what's called their regional obligation for housing. So but who decides what the regional obligation is?
Of course.
It's ABAG.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the state and it's ABAG. So if the folks at ABAG say San Francisco needs to build 20,000 new luxury housing units on the southeast part of town, and we say, wait a minute, that's going to lead to displacement, you know, under Wiener's bill, the state could essentially take that over.
And how would that benefit to Mr. I pulled a gay card near the end, even though I didn't endorse Kimberly or David Campos. How would that affect LGBT seniors?
Well, I mean, the poor ones.
Yes.
The problem with all of this, like enforced high-end housing development, is that it does force other people out. And you know, the ABAG folks and the MTC folks who did this Bay Area Plan 2020 or 2040. They look at that and they say, yeah, some people are going to be displaced, but we're going to do it anyway. And that's what worries me about Wiener's bill.
It reminds me of Lennar.
Yeah.
You know, well, we don't want people to be displaced. Well, of course, you can say you don't want it, but they're going to be.
That's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in a great shape in Sacramento, you know, and if we're looking for money and funds to replace anything that the Trump administration might do, you know, a true reform of Prop 13 would be good, not just a photo op. I'm skeptical that our three representatives are really going to get behind that. And then in the meantime, you know, wring their hands. And I understand David Chu likes to say, oh, gee, I'm a progressive in Sacramento. Oh, but boo-hoo-hoo, I'm not in San Francisco. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's not that kind of label. It's the kind of action you take and the kind of leadership you exhibit. And, you know, I'm feeling a big, big disappointment there.
Very big disappointment there.
The Chronicle, oh, it looks like we're cleaning house a little.
A little.
What the fuck? Chuck is gone, and now Deborah Saunders. I can't tell you. My history with Deborah Saunders goes back. She's so transphobic, homophobic, a little bit corrupt. You know, her husband worked for a think tank. I think it was the Hoover, conservative think tank.
Yeah, I don't know where
he
worked.
And she had to disclose eventually because she was going after something that they were involved in, curriculum or something.
Yeah.
You know, they were all Fox wannabes. And, you know, Fox has these standards, these cosmetic standards, that they couldn't even meet those standards. So I'm really glad that they're going. I see that Talbert wrote his first column today. So there's, you know, there's some hope there. Diaz is really, really has to go. I mean, it's just outrageous how he trivializes the sanctuary policy. You know, and I think what a betrayal of his own background. It's just been a horror to have him set the tone, you know, of the Chronicle, which has really debased itself over the years. So let's see what happens.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
It's not about disagreeing. I hate that part. There are not two sides here.
No, a lot of times there are not two sides. Well, you know, when we had this, the Chron has done led the way on doing all these stories on homelessness, which is a fine thing, and I'm glad that we're looking at the issue. But what's frustrating is, you know, after we got like 50 or 60 media outlets involved, and everybody's doing all these stories on homelessness, where are we 6 months later? We elected Scott Wiener, the anti-homeless guy, the state Senate.
And passed
we passed Proposition Q, the anti-homeless thing from Mark Farrell.
Right.
I mean, it's like the Chronicle, they may take a leadership doing all these stories about the problem, but then when it comes down to who they endorse what they support, they're on the other side.
No, it's totally empty. And anything that they consider to be progressive gets trivialized and rejected. And then anything, you know, more moderate and business friendly gets glorified and endorsed. So, you know, shame. And shame on the mayor, too. You know, what a nebbish. It's one thing not to do anything. It's another thing to continue to do things that are harmful. Who the hell is he to grandstand on sanctuary and then start to pull the rug out from under it? You know, it reminds me of the Bush-Reagan years, you know, when they started to defund public education, and then they came in as the pseudo-Calvary. Oh, guess what? We know the schools are in trouble, so here's a great system. It's called the voucher system. So they create the situation, and then they come up with a solution that, of course, is the total antithesis of public education. And Ed Lee and his administration is totally hypocritical and morally bankrupt, and London Breed is toying with this idea. You know, I guess she forgot that she almost got her butt kicked by Dean Preston. And I don't even think she understands what the concept of sanctuary is. I think there's some really heavy problems there.
Not
just simple disagreements, but real
problems,
philosophical, political, and social.
Because I think the mayor's office doesn't want money to go to the public defender, because he doesn't want it. Steve Cava, I think, doesn't want it to look like we're defending people who've been accused of crimes. Like there's good immigrants and bad immigrants.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, but deportation is a criminal process.
That's right.
And the public defender's office is able to gear up quickly. And all of the nonprofits that are going to be getting this money too, they say we need the PD's office. We need people in there to help us do this.
And so, and then the mayor's also playing games with, you know, who's going to be Wiener's replacement. I think I'll move to District 8. But also the police chief. Where's the police chief? Hello? How many months has it been?
It's been a long time. And, you know, the supervisors passed this kind of not enforceable, but resolution saying the police chief should live in the city of San Francisco.
Yeah, Norman did that, didn't he? Yeah.
And let's see. No, we were promised a police chief quite some time ago. He can't seem to make up his mind on a supervisor or on a police chief.
No, and I also think, and this is the non-sexy part, is we need charter reform, you know, which takes time, which takes these. I'm hoping that, you know, I don't want to commit her, but, you know, the more progressive soups that did win might start to consider a real attempt to revise the charter. And in the charter, we could put that you got to live in the city, and a whole other, you know, and the sharing of appointments and all that. It's a goal that's not going to happen tomorrow, but I think I'd like to see it on people's to-do list.
Yep. And let's, you know, while we're having this discussion, let's just take a moment to thank the three outgoing soups, Avalos, Campos, and Mar, who, you know, we may have had disagreements with individuals, but between the three of them, they were always there, and they were, you know, they were kind of the progressive flank of the board, and we're going to miss them.
Here, this is for them.
All right, well, you've been listening to the Tom and Tim Show, and we will be back next week.
All right.